Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 1600 ESPN. This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Back at it for a Tuesday, one more time, at least for quite a while. A Spencer on Sports Power Hour here on 1600 ESPN with you for another hour and 5 minutes. Cubs radio pregame takes over at 5:10 tonight as it's game two between the Cubs and the Phillies. We'll have it for you right here on 1600 ESPN after we bring you today's Power Hour. Lots to get to in the next 60 minutes and change here on 1600 ESPN. And certainly glad you're along for the ride with us. 319-366-1600. Talking text line open for you here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports and Chicago Cubs baseball, 1600 ESPN. Get to three big things here in just a moment. Also, one of our Tuesday staples, a few good minutes. Going to continue looking at the House settlement, how that's looking to change and how it will change college sports now that it has been approved. We'll get some more thoughts from ESPN's Pete Thamel, who was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, shared his thoughts on the NIL aspect of all of this. NIL is not going away, but some changes are going to be in place. And there's some interesting things that are part of this. We got plenty more time to dissect the ins, the outs, the ups and downs of it, but specifically looking at that venture coming up on a few good minutes after 4:30. Also get you set for the night ahead. We got the sports menu. No playoff action tonight. We've got the Stanley Cup final off until Thursday. NBA finals resume tomorrow night. So a little bit of a gap in the playoff action. We've got baseball tonight and the WNBA as well. And we'll take a look at those matchups for you before 5 o'clock. A few other news and notes, tidbits here and there. On 1600 ESPN. Again, 319-366-1600. Isaac is here. He is ready to rock and roll. How you doing over there?
I'm doing all right. Just talking, sending some DMs and emails to a couple of people
there
for you.
Go.
So I'll talk to you off the air.
That's fine. That's perfectly okay. We are efforting many guests to help us sort through the House settlements and what it means for not just the Big Ten, Big 12, all that stuff, but what it means for some of our local schools. And I know we've been in contact. I have, you have, with a number of different people. So we're working on that for possibly later this week, but we got plenty of time to talk about this and working on that for the weeks to come here on the show. So looking forward to continuing the discussion here, but we'll dive into some of the key bullet points, like I said, on three big things here in just a moment, actually on a few good minutes after 4:30, but lots to get to, and we got plenty to discuss. So let's dive right in. Time for three big things here on 1600 ESPN.
What's happening?
Big news. This just in.
This is really important.
Wow, that is really, really big.
Three big things to start the conversation. Do this every Monday through Friday. Three stories, three topics, three things that have caught our attention since we last spoke here on the radio waves in Eastern Iowa. You can't have three big things without
number one.
And the overarching theme for point number one here is just going to be this. The team of the show let us down last night. A competitive game, game one, game two last night, just not all that competitive. I mean, it was pretty competitive in the fact that there were multiple fights and penalty minutes were off the charts last night. But if you're following along with the team of the show, the Edmonton Oilers, last night was just not the night. And heading down to Florida, knew there was a good possibility that the Panthers would defend their home ice. They're so good at doing that. And we talked about it going into last night's game. Hey, the team that wins game three has the upper hand in the series, and it certainly looks like the Panthers have that upper hand, at least for now. It's the first of four, and the Panthers have a 2-1 series lead, so they are two wins away from back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. But our beloved team of the show, the Oilers, certainly were hoping that they have something to say about it last night or in the rest of the series here. Not last night. They lose 6-1 in Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. And the story of the night, Brad Marchand, who started things, got things going last night, 56 seconds into the first period. That, according to ESPN Stats and Info, the fourth fastest goal to start a playoff game in franchise history. That comes after, of course, he scored the overtime goal in game two to win that one up in Edmonton. And so he scored the game ender in Edmonton. He scored the game starter, if you will, down in Sunrise, Florida. And in between, it was all Florida pretty much all the time last night as the Panthers got a little close there early in the second, 2-1 game. Corey Perry, the only goal for the team of the show last night, the Oilers. But it was all Panthers after that, 6-1, the final score. And it's not looking great for the team of the show. Isaac, should I just play the sad trombone music for the rest of the segment here just to sum it up? Or how should we handle this? Because I feel like, and this is my thoughts, right? I think we jumped the gun a little bit talking about the potential for replica Stanley Cup here in the studio. We were doing some planning on the air. I think it was Friday last week. I can't remember specifically when, but I was starting to do some interior design work and thinking where we could put the cup with the team of the show engraved on it. The series isn't over yet, but I wonder, did I curse them? Did I curse them the last two games? I think that possibility is out there. I put it out into the universe. A little overconfident is kind of how I'm feeling after the performance we saw from Edmonton last night.
Yesterday was certainly a gut punch for the Oilers. There's no doubt about it. Like, that was a you got out physical, completely, thoroughly outplayed on the ice. I would be a little bit concerned with the mental state of the Oilers at that point. It seems like, I mean, there was a ton of penalties. It seems like the Panthers are kind of getting to them mentally, causing a lot of unforced errors, silly penalties. I think that showed in both the physicality. There was some early tempers, some quick tempers. Like, it just feels like the Panthers got in their head. Now, maybe that'll be a one-off, but the Oilers kind of need to reset for sure, and I do wonder if that overtime loss in Game 2 really kind of, I don't want to say set things off, but really was a big moral hit for the Oilers at that point.
Yeah, you play such a tough game and you end up losing in the second overtime. You think you have it, right? You get the goal to tie it. You play almost two full overtime periods, and then it kind of just the bubble pops, the balloon bursts, whatever it might be, and that maybe takes a little confidence out of you know, kind of the sails. The wind goes out of the sails for a little bit there. And maybe you just need to find it right back. But the key is, I think, moving forward, if you're looking at things from Edmonton's perspective, you got to find that, and you got to not let two losses kind of, like you said, get in your head. And Florida, on their side, if you can continue to let it get in their head and take advantage of maybe some uneasiness and maybe a lack of confidence here moving forward, especially for Game 4 coming up Thursday night, because that's on your home ice if you're Florida. Boy, you have a chance to really put this into kind of the same situation it was last year, make it a 3-1 series and force Edmonton to go on a legendary kind of run again just to force a Game 7 and hope that they, you know, fate is on their side this time instead of last year where they end up losing in Game 7. So, yeah, it's a must win for Edmonton moving forward. For Florida, I think, you know, you can call it a must win for them too, because I'm not sure you want to go back to Edmonton tied up at two games apiece, considering how the crowd is there. But you really have an opportunity if you're the Panthers to say, hey, you know, this is our series, this is our cup, and put yourself basically on the precipice of being a back-to-back Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah, and to me, it wasn't only the fact that, you know, you got out physical, but it was right away. I mean, you had Marchand with the game-winning goal the game before, and then 56 seconds in, he scores a goal right away. Like, that is so, that would, for me, would be so demoralizing. Be like, man, what do we do with this guy?
Right.
Like, how does he just keep getting scoring on us? And so that would be really, really frustrating. So they got to, I don't know, you got to really be able to compartmentalize. I do feel like McDavid has got to, I don't want to say step up. Like, I don't think he's played bad. It's just he hasn't scored a goal, I don't think. So I do think you're kind of waiting for McDavid to enter a takeover mode, I guess maybe be the best way to describe it, where you have your superstar, best player in the world kind of step up in the moment where the team really needs them. So I am kind of expecting that to pop up at some point. And maybe that's what the Oilers are waiting for as well.
Yeah, McDavid, two shots on goal last night. Leon Draisaitl did not have a shot on goal, both failing to record a point in Game 3, and that's not great. You're the best player on your team, the two best players, that dynamic duo, don't get a single point in the game. That's tough moving forward. And you mentioned Brad Marchand, 37 years old, which is pretty crazy. The oldest player to score in the first three games of a Stanley Cup final. And he's had an incredible impact on the Panthers here so far this entire postseason. And it was ESPN's Greg Wyshynski who joined Game Night last night after the game went final, talking about how much of an impact Marchand has had on the Panthers.
To do what he's doing is pretty remarkable. You got to remember that he was a trade deadline acquisition for Florida. He couldn't come to terms on a new contract with Boston, the team he captained, the only team he's ever played for. He comes to Florida, and in the same way that a lot of guys have done this with the Panthers, he accepted a different kind of role. He's on their third line. This is a star player playing on their third line. And what he's done for this team is remarkable on the ice and also off the ice.
Again, ESPN's Greg Wyshynski there. You mentioned it with McDavid, and Wyshynski said the same thing last night on Game Night. Game 4 needs to be a Connor McDavid game if the Oilers want to get back in the series. They want to still have a chance to win the Cup. McDavid's got to go into kind of takeover mode, as you said, and Wyshynski talked about that last night too.
I think he's played well in the sense that he's set up some really big goals. You know, he's made some amazing passes to his line mate, Leon Draisaitl, and then Draisaitl is the one to score the goal. So it's not as if he hasn't made an imprint on the series. But when you talk about legacy, when you talk about moments, when you talk about being the MVP of this league, as McDavid has been in the past, Game 4 is where you make your moment. Game 4 is where you make the difference. Game 4 is where we come away from that game thinking they were at maybe the lowest point of their playoff run, and their captain, their star player, the guy searching for the ring, lifted them back up to put them back in the series. You're absolutely right. Game 4 needs to be a McDavid game for them to get back in this thing.
And Game 4 is Thursday night. Things not working in the favor of the Edmonton Oilers moving forward. Six of the last seven teams to hold a 2-1 lead in the Stanley Cup final have gone on to win the series. Defending champs, in fact, too. They've been even better, 22-1 record in the Stanley Cup final when leading after three games. So if you're the defending champs, which the Panthers are, and you have a lead after three games, chances are you go on to win the series. But we still have confidence. We are going to play the clip. You heard him. We want the cup. We want the cup here in the studio, the replica cup, not the real thing. Although, could you imagine if we somehow got in with the Oilers and they brought us the cup to enjoy for a day?
I'll see if I can contact their
PR team.
See if we can make that happen.
They're all about it. But Edmonton loses. Florida does get the win with Game 4 coming up later on this week. We move on to
Number two.
How about a little mini camp mayhem is what I call it. We could spend a ton of time just talking football, of course, as mandatory mini camps have opened up. A lot of stories, of course, on who is not there at certain mini camps, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, the man we all love to hear from, Aaron Rodgers. He is officially at Steelers mini camp. He's apparently married now, for those of you who are just really concerned about Aaron Rodgers' personal life, which is none of us, but a lot of I saw no fewer than like six tweets in the half hour between 3:30 and 4:00. You know that Aaron Rodgers has a wedding ring on? He claims to be married. I don't care. What is he doing on the football field? Well, he's getting acclimated to the Steelers. That is one thing that ESPN's Adam Schefter said is the primary thing to watch as what, number eight? Now reports to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I just think he's got to get acclimated to everything. It's a whole new world that he's stepping into. This is like, you know what it's like? It's like orientation for him. He's going through orientation these next 2 days during the mandatory minicamp. 3-day minicamp. They'll probably wind up canceling the last day. That's what many teams do. Maybe Pittsburgh will have it because he's there. I don't know. But he's onboarding the next couple of days, getting acclimated to Mike Tomlin, Arthur Smith, his offensive line, his teammates, just get a taste of everything before they break for the summer and then report back to training camp. It's just a little sampling. That's all it is. It's Aaron Rodgers' orientation the next couple of days.
And why was now the best time to sign number 8? Here's what he had to say.
I was dealing with a lot of things in my personal life, and some things improved a little bit where I felt like I could fully be all in here with the guys. I had a great conversation with Mike throughout the entire process and Omar. But it's good to get that done and get behind us.
Well, there he is. It's good to get it done, get behind us. The personal issues, which it was reported that he had a few members of his inner circle dealing with cancer, and obviously you, as a friend, as a family member, whatever it is, you are certainly afforded the time to deal with that and handle those situations, and certainly give respect to Aaron for wanting to handle that and be present for that, and certainly none of us are going to criticize or ridicule him for that. But it's the next chapter in the never-ending saga that is Aaron Rodgers, and now the Steelers have to deal with it. And like Adam Schefter said in the clip we played, it's basically orientation time, and there'll be plenty more discussions and think pieces and back and forth, whatever, about it. But he's there, Isaac. He's the Steelers' problem, and I sense that it's very, very mixed reactions to Rodgers being the quarterback now in Steel City.
Yeah,
I have my feelings. You have your feelings, but I feel like most Steeler fans are okay, fine, but not great. Possibly, I don't know.
I don't want to speak for Steelers fans, but it seems like they just want an actual future, not stopgap quarterbacks every single year, rotating these guys every single year.
Right.
It seems like they want have a guy, have that be the future. It seems like they would have, even Steelers fans, I think, again, not that I am one, but it seems like even if the idea was to stick with Fields, they would have accepted that more because that at least gives you a blueprint for how the next 2-3 seasons are going to work mm-hmm. out instead of a rotating quarterback room. And I think Steelers fans are kind of getting fed up with that because it doesn't feel like they're making any progress towards Super Bowl victories. It seems like they're just making progress towards being competitive, trying to stay over 500, make the playoffs, round one, round two exit. And I think that's a valid frustration for a fan base who overall you can say has been pretty spoiled for how much success they've had in the league, how many Super Bowls they've won. I do think it's fair to say Steelers fans have been spoiled, but I do think it's fair, the frustrations of not really having a firm future at that position, it certainly can get frustrating.
That is who is in minicamp. Who's not in minicamp for the Steelers is TJ Watt. Watt not attending the mandatory minicamp this week as he pursues a new deal. One of several high-profile players who's not at minicamp. Trey Hendrickson not reporting for Bengals minicamp. Terry McLaurin also out for Commanders minicamp as well. The mandatory minicamp while looking for a new deal. There's other players too, but out of those three, TJ Watt, Trey Hendrickson, or Terry McLaurin, which are you most concerned about if you're a fan of those teams or you're just an NFL fan in general? Which one is the most concerning, kind of hold out-ish type thing for a mandatory minicamp here?
Probably Trey Hendrickson, just because that defense was putrid last year. Mm-hmm. And not only is Trey Hendrickson holding out, Shamar Stewart, their rookie, their first round draft, is holding out for a deal. So, like, I don't even know what the Bengals are. I don't want to say what they're waiting for, but I don't know. You got billionaire owners. You should probably pay these guys. Just my opinion.
Pay them.
That's my sort of viewpoint. If I'm a Bengals fan, which I'm not, but that would be my sort of standpoint. To me, the Trey Hendrickson's most concerning, just because that defense was awful, and the other edge rusher is also, you know, holding out at this point.
Yeah, I don't understand the Shamar Stewart kind of thing. Like, you're a first-round pick, and look, I think he sees, and maybe I'm reading the situation wrong, but I think he sees the Trey Hendrickson thing and is like, oh well, I want money, too.
He has a little bit more leverage, right, too, if you're holding out. Oh, well, you got to sign me to have some edge threat.
Right, yeah. So he has that kind of leverage play there, but you can't do that to your first-round pick. Like, I mean, you can, but why would you, right? Especially if Trey Hendrickson is still out there and, you know, you kind of want him back in the fold too. Wouldn't you want to be like, hey, we paid Shamar Stewart this, but then Shamar Stewart doesn't want to be the guy that kind of is used as the negotiating ploy. Doesn't want to be the middleman, right, in that situation. So Hendrickson did not participate in any of the team's voluntary workouts as well. And his only appearance during those offseason workouts was basically to speak to reporters to detail the situation between himself and the team. Second straight year that a Bengals player has limited participation in minicamp. Jamar Chase did not take part during minicamp last year because of contract situations. They eventually got it done, but if you're the Bengals, like you said, the defense was just so bad last year. So I don't know how you just kind of, well, hold firm here. Like, I don't know how you do that, because you need the defense to be good to even have a chance to compete in the AFC North.
It also just, again, shows I'd rather my team, if I know that I'm going to hold on to this player or want to keep this player, you should always pay them a year early, because that's going to be cheaper in the long term. You don't get any of these holdouts. You don't have to deal with any of the drama. And the Bengals just continually never learn that lesson for whatever reason, whether it's Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. They always wait till the last second to sign these guys, and then you have to pay top dollar for them. It doesn't make any sense the way the Bengals operate, but I don't know. I'm not a GM. Maybe they know more than I do.
Hendrickson set to make $16 million this season. He and Jamar Chase were, since he's first all-pro selection since 2015, led the league in sacks and was a Pro Bowler for the fourth straight year. So certainly deserving of that big contract, but Bengals need to figure that out ASAP there. Several high-profile holdouts when it comes to the start of these mandatory mini-camps here this week. Of course, not everybody practicing this week, but most teams are. I know the Lions canceled theirs because of the Hall of Fame game here. So not everybody in camp, but at mini-camp this week. Quite a few storylines to watch this week, that's for sure. All right, one more thing to get to, and that is
number three.
And we circle back to basketball and the Indiana Fever. We got an update yesterday from Stephanie White, head coach of the Fever, about Caitlin Clark and her availability. And, well, there is no availability for the Fever star tonight. She will be out again tonight against the Atlanta Dream. Stephanie White telling reporters on Monday. It's the fifth consecutive game that Clark has been out after suffering the quad strain against the New York Liberty. The team, of course, said she'll be reevaluated, sidelined at least 2 weeks. This is kind of that time frame that people said, okay, maybe it's time for her to return, or if everything goes well, we could see Caitlin Clark back on the court. But that will not be the case tonight. And here was Stephanie White talking a little bit more about Clark's status at media availability yesterday in Indy.
How about Caitlin? Is she going to be ready for
tomorrow? Oh, not for tomorrow, no. You know, I think for us, it's we've got to work, both her and Sophie, back into, are they in basketball condition? You know, what does it mean to go live? It's one thing to do some shooting drills. It's another thing to get out there on the floor, get back into to movement patterns, rhythm, timing. And so that's what part of, you know, picking and choosing the things that they can be in practice so that we can see their progression. And, you know, both of them being out for long periods of time, you got to work your way back into being game ready.
Both of them, of course, referring to Sophie Cunningham. Been limited to just 4 games this season after an ankle injury. Fever certainly would like to have both of them back ready to play. But as Stephanie White said yesterday, they're trying to do things intentionally and make sure that they are 100% or as close to it before they get back back on the court.
We're ready to start ramping back up and make sure, you know, it's completely different when you're just doing one-on-one workouts and when you're out there in 5-on-5, getting up and down the floor, moving laterally. So she's been allowed to do some practicing, not everything. And we're gonna be smart and we're gonna be cautious and we're gonna play the long game and work her back in very intentionally.
Fever are in Atlanta tonight. They are then off until Saturday when they get another opportunity to play the New York Liberty. We'll see if both Clark and Cunningham can return for that game coming up Saturday, but they are both ruled out for tonight. 319-366-1600. That is your look at three big things, three stories, three topics, three things to watch in the sports world this week. Get going here on a Tuesday short show. We only have about a half hour to 40 minutes left on another power hour, taking you up till 5:10. Cubs pregame show starts at 5:10. Cubs and Phillies game two of that series from Philadelphia. We'll have it for you coming up later on this evening here on 1600 ESPN. We'll go to break and come back and get to this week's edition of A Few Good Minutes. Still focusing in on the House settlement and what it means for college sports. Looking at the NIL side of things, some of the latest little tidbits that have come out since the approval of the House settlement late Friday night. We'll get some thoughts on that and a little bit more from ESPN's Pete Thamel, giving his perspective on what the NIL side of things might look like under the new playbook in college athletics. That and more next here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
Skies will remain clear as we head into the overnight hours as temperatures fall back near 60 degrees. On Wednesday, we'll see mostly sunny skies during the day along with hot conditions with a high temperature near 90. Wednesday evening into Wednesday night, we'll see chances for showers or a storm. Overnight lows will drop back into the middle 60s. A shower and storm will be possible on Thursday, otherwise partly cloudy with a high temperature of 86 degrees. We could see some rain linger into Friday with a high near 84. And that was a check of your Weather First forecast. I'm meteorologist Kason Frericks.
Hey, it's Spencer here for Quickstar, and it's time to gear up for Quickstar's Mountain Dew Quick Climb, where every sip gets you closer to the summit and closer to winning some cold hard cash from your friends at Quickstar and at Mountain Dew. Now through August 17th, you can play each day for free in your Quick Rewards app, and you score bonus plays with every eligible item you grab when you stop into Quickstar. What's eligible? Well, it's stuff like Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Gatorade, Propel, Bubbler, Starbucks, Pure Leaf Tea, or even Rockstar. And if you grab one of those with some hot food from their hotspot, you get two bonus plays too. And every week someone is cashing in. Each week the prize climbs by $5,000 and it goes higher and higher until one player reaches the top and gets the ultimate prize, which is $250,000 cash money. So open up your Quick Rewards app and get climbing for a chance to win, because this summer the view from the top is worth every play. It's Quickstar's Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Your summer, your climb, your win. No purchase necessary. See full rules at quickstar.com/sweepstakes.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local. This message proudly presented by Network Computer Solutions, Hurting and Stocker Jewelers, Orchestra Iowa, and 1600 ESPN.
Emil's Hideaway is the place to get together. Stop in for a drink and some chow with your buddies. Emil's opens every day at 4. If you're hanging out at home instead, order pickup and delivery at emilshideaway.com. Emil's Hideaway, a great place to meet up with friends.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6759. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6759. That's 800-575-6759. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
All right, Tuesday Power Hour, chugging right along here on 1600 ESPN, 319-366-1600. With you till 5:10. Cubs and Phillies radio pregame starts at 5:10. Back to a normal schedule tomorrow. Cubs will play early afternoon. Be with you from 4 till 6 first full show in almost a week. We had one last Monday, and then it was just Power Hour Palooza here on 1600 ESPN. That's what happens. Been an interesting week of games, that's for sure. Another chapter in the season series book here, if you will, for the Cubs. Cubs losing last night, tough one, walk-off loss. See if they could take the middle game and then set up a rubber match tomorrow in Philadelphia. Again, 5:10, the pregame here on 1600 ESPN. Tomorrow's game, 11:30, pregame, 12:05, first pitch right here on 1600 ESPN. Full live sports broadcast schedule available at kgymradio.com. 319-366-1600 as we move to a few good minutes here on a Tuesday. And do this every Tuesday on the show, spend a few good minutes discussing a topic in the sports world and really focusing in and locking in on certain aspect of that topic. And the big topic continues to be the House settlement. We've been talking about it in just kind of the bare bones terms, what it means for, just all the different aspects of it for the last several weeks, the hypotheticals and stuff. And now that it has been approved by the judge Claudia Wilken, late Friday night, about 10 minutes past 8 Central Time. So maybe not all that late, but still Friday night. It's now working toward the time when this all takes effect. And July 1 is when schools can start sharing revenue directly with players. That annual cap, like we talked about yesterday, kind of when we laid out the basics, expected to start at $20.5 million per school and increase every year during the deal, which is a decade-long deal. And payments going to be in addition to scholarships and other benefits the athletes already receive. And it certainly is going to be interesting to follow NIL, which is not going away. Name, image, and likeness payments. It's still going to be a big part of this, but the big aspect, or one of the big aspects of this this House settlement that was approved by the judge, is the launch of what's being called an NIL clearinghouse. It's an online platform called NIL Go, and it's being administered through a couple different companies, Deloitte, one of them, an accounting firm, LBI Software, also teaming up to monitor the salary cap management and this so-called clearinghouse, again called NIL Go. And NIL deal is going to be outside the revenue directly shared by the schools, and do have to be vetted to determine if they are for a valid business purpose. And that, when you hear those words, it kind of blurs the lines, I think, a little bit. It, you know, pay for play is still illegal, but what is an NIL deal doing, right? Like, I mean, you're offered this NIL package to come play for a school. Can't call it pay for play, but it essentially becomes pay for play, and you're paying these athletes for their services. So we continue to kind of just ignore the elephant in the room that it essentially is pay for play, and just don't call it pay for play, because that's a no-no. That's bad. We can't do that. But the vetting of these NIL deals through this online platform, the whole purpose is to determine whether they're for a business purpose or something that's not a business purpose, like recruiting. So, I mean, how are you? I mean, look, this has been going on, right, for a while now, but it's still like, how do you differentiate? Like, well, we're not using this for recruiting. We're just, it's an actual business that wants this player to speak up for their fast food restaurant or this car dealership and stuff like that. Well, you can say it's not for recruiting, but I think we all kind of understand that a big part of the recruiting pitch is how much NIL dollars you have in your account. And as we talked about briefly yesterday, the playing field is not getting leveled with this. Every school is going to have money to share, right? The $20.5 million is part of the revenue sharing. But when it comes down to it, with the additional name, image, and likeness money that will be available to these
to these athletes. It's going to be more of the haves and have-nots here moving forward. So it certainly is going to be interesting to see the enforcement of this. We talked about yesterday to the now former Major League Baseball executive Brian Seeley, who is going to be part of this College Sports Commission and kind of has to be the bad guy with this and has to be the one enforcing the rules here moving forward. And the determination of, you know, how do you enforce the rules? How do you have, you know, punishments? How do you dole them out if the rules are broken? And how do you do that in a fair and just manner where it doesn't seem like one set of schools is being targeted over the other, and you have kind of that even playing field of, okay, here are the rules, and here's how we follow them, and here's what happens if you break the rules. For too long now, there hasn't been much enforcement, or the enforcement has been fairly random and inconsistent. And I see it, and I'm always a glass half full type of person, but I see it as more of a positive that at least there's some structure in place. But we'll see how this actually gets enacted here. Our first tests are going to be coming up in the new season, but you have the College Sports Commission that's going to be seeing the rules, overseeing the rules as part of this House settlement. And then you have this NIL clearinghouse called NIL Go that's going to be tasked with vetting the NIL deals. And it certainly is going to be interesting to see this, too, because as of June 7th, which is a couple days ago, the players now have to report NIL deals of $600 or more to the College Sports Commission. So anything struck after June 7th now has to be cleared by this clearinghouse and vetted to be legit. And to me, and I've seen several other sports commentators and writers talk about this, this feels like we're opening things up for a lawsuit here. Because, well, what are their grounds for approving or denying or saying something is legit or not legit? And I think there's still some clarity that needs to be had there with this. And like we talked about yesterday, there's still plenty that needs to be discussed and laid out and figured out before I think everything is in its right place. But at least there is a framework, in my opinion, and we'll have to see just where this all ends up when all is said and done. ESPN's Pete Thamel did talk a little bit yesterday about just the NIL side of things. One question I know that's come up quite a bit is what happens to collectives. Collectives, for the most part, still going to be around, but their role in this is going to be quite different than I think we're all used to. I'll let Pete Thamel talk about it, and then we'll react to what he had to say. But again, this is from the Monday edition of the Pat McAfee Show, kind of laying out the role of collectives and the role in general of name, image, and likeness in this new world where we have revenue sharing in college sports.
So the collectives are still going to exist. I think ideally when they start to set up this system, they set it up so that the collectives would no longer be part of the industry. But that's just not the case in a free market, like we say. So ultimately, I see the collectives becoming almost like marketing arms that are going to help players get deals. And if you have a professional one that falls within industry standards, that becomes a competitive advantage for you. So basically all those teams that Pat just mentioned, the Ducks, the Buckeyes, the Wolverines, the Longhorns, etc., they are going to have access to more deals, and that is essentially going to give them an advantage outside of the $20.5 million and how it all works. But you guys are doing a really good job distilling where these tension points are going to come.
Thank you.
Because what they don't want is, you know, John Business in downtown Indianapolis just randomly giving a Hoosier $3 million in a pay-for-play thing, but actually judging what is market, range of compensation, whatever you want to call it, and what is pay-for-play is where this is going to be fascinating, especially if you're a private business, right? Which you can, you know, in this country, do what you want to do. So there are tension points looming, and it's going to be Brian Seeley's job to not only navigate, Pat, which I think is important, but also explain what works and what doesn't and why. Because the NCAA system was always very distant, vague, non-transparent. And this system, if it's going to work, has to be transparent. And then if people do break the rules and they're caught breaking the rules, there has to be punitive punishments in order for people to respect the rules, which was not the case in the old system.
Again, ESPN's Pete Thamel from yesterday, 319-366-1600. The key word in all that was transparency. And I think we need to see and need to hear from Brian Seeley, and maybe we will very soon, but I'd like to see him, the new CEO of the College Sports Commission. I'd like to see him and hear from him and have him talk about, you know, what exactly his role is, how he's setting rules, how he's enforcing rules, and just kind of what this whole process entails. And give us some examples of, okay, when you see this a deal come in that you're trying to vet, how do you rule on, okay, yes, this is legit, it's not legit, is there an appeal process, how do you make it fair, you know, a fair conversation about the legitimacy of an NIL deal, and not have it just be either A, a rubber stamp, or B, a quick denial, which then turns into a lawsuit, which then turns into less regulation, which then turns into back to where we were with the NCAA, where it's, oh, well, we're afraid to do anything because we can't do anything because we're going to have legal papers handed to us. Well, you denied my NIL deal. It's now in the hands of the courts. We can't keep doing this. So there needs to be a clear set of rules. There needs to be transparency within the process. And I'd like to hear from Seeley just more on his perspective on, okay, how do you make this a process and make this a solution that actually works and it's not just more of the same. I don't think this is a quick fix. We talked about this yesterday. It's definitely not a quick fix for everything that's ailing college sports. There's now I'm seeing today legislation that's being proposed. It's nowhere near a vote in Congress right now. But now that this framework is in place, this House settlement has been approved, the NCAA and stakeholders in college sports now see this as an opportunity to go to Congress and say, let's put this actually into law, codify it into law. We'll see if that gets done. We'll see if it even comes to a vote. I will just say, I think there's more pressing topics that our lawmakers can be concerned with and talking about in our country right now. But now that this is at the forefront, we have this big story in college athletics with this big change, these changes that are coming, and now some structure. Why not strike while the iron is hot and try your hand at getting this in front of lawmakers and see if they can bring it to the floor for a vote? It's got to pass through committees, all the different things first. But I would not be surprised if there was actually action taken. We'll see where it all ends up. But I'm curious to learn more about the process for this moving forward, because it's big. It's still kind of complicated, and I think there's still some gray area that needs to be sorted out and made clear when you talk about the future of college athletics. So certainly a lot to discuss with this, and a story that will continue to dominate at least the college sports headlines moving forward. 319-366-1600, almost to the finish line on a Power Hour Tuesday. Got about 20 minutes to go. We'll preview what's to come on the sports menu. It's next here on 1600 ESPN.
Time and space are running out at the Solid Waste Agency landfill, so prices will be going up. Starting July 1st, the cost of landfill loads will be $50 per ton. You can save space and your hard-earned money by making full use of your curbside services whenever possible. And the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency reminds you that there are lots of recycling options available at no charge, too. Find out how to recycle right and get more information about this new pricing, plus other helpful info, at solidwasteagency.org.
Tired of waiting only to get the wrong parts online?
At Good Guys Auto Parts,
Iowa City's only family-owned, family-run parts store.
We keep it gooder.
Gooder prices.
Gooder brands.
Gooder warranty.
And actual humans to help.
Way gooder than a website.
Stop in or give us a call for fast, free delivery
straight to your door,
garage,
man cave,
or she shed.
Good Guys has been voted ugliest parts store 15 years straight.
But hey, like your mom said, it's what's on the inside that counts.
Good Guys Auto Parts.
Gooder than good.
The goodest.
Emil's Hideaway is the place to get together. Stop in for a drink and some chow with your buddies. Emil's opens every day at 4. If you're hanging out at home instead, order pickup and delivery at emilshideaway.com. Emil's Hideaway, a great place to meet up with friends.
Need assistance with door and window projects? The Home Depot can help. From inspiration and materials to ordering and installation, our free Millwork virtual apron service can get you moving and doing. Plus, we speak Spanish too. Our associates can help you tackle complex jobs without you leaving the job site, saving you time and money. Call us at 1-833-HD-APRON or visit homedepot.com/MVA. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Empower.
Tim collects bobbleheads, a lot of bobbleheads, baseball bobbleheads, race car bobbleheads, little chihuahua bobbleheads. He's got an entire room strictly for bobbleheads. Does he need them? No. Is his wife mad about it? A little. But Tim works with Empower, and he got good at money. So he can be a little bad. Ooh, horse bobblehead. Classy, Tim. Empower. Invest well. Live a little. Start today at empower.com.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
319-366-1600, Power Hour Tuesday continues here on 1600 ESPN. Taking until 5:10, Cubs Radio pregame show takes over at 5:10. Zach Zabin with the pregame show. Pat and Ron have the call for you right here on 1600 ESPN. Cubs and Phillies tonight, again tomorrow at 11:30. Full show tomorrow, 4 till 6, here on 1600 ESPN. Plenty to watch or listen to tonight. Let's get to the sports menu.
What are you eating?
Instant mashed potatoes for frozen TV dinners.
And I want to know why it didn't have mayonnaise.
Okay. On the menu today, we have...
lots of Iowa ties on the pitching matchups tonight. We lost kind of a cool moment, pitching matchup change in one of the games tonight, but we do have Colin Ray for the Chicago Cubs on the hill tonight. One of the Iowa natives or players with Iowa ties taking the mound tonight. Mitch Keller pitching tonight for Pittsburgh. And then we missed out on two former Cedar Rapids Colonels matching up in one of the baseball games tonight. I'll run down the schedule here for you since that dominates the conversation tonight. Major League Baseball, the game we're bringing you here in just a little bit, the Cubs and the Phillies, 5:45 first pitch. Colin Ray and Mick Abel, the pitching matchup tonight as the Cubs look to bounce back from a walk-off loss to the Phillies last night. Game two of that series out in Philadelphia. Ray having a solid season for the Cubs. Filling in nicely after the Cubs lost to two of their top pitchers in Justin Steele and Shota Imanaga. Ray right now so far 4-2, 3.59 ERA for the Cubs. Won his last start, last time out, beating the Washington Nationals last Thursday in that game. So Colin Ray and Mick Abel, a first-round pick back in 2020, I do believe, for the Phillies. That is your pitching matchup for that game coming up here in just a little bit, just under an hour away from first pitch over in Philly. I mentioned Mitch Keller on the hill tonight. Popular name in trade rumors. His opposition tonight, Sandy Alcantara for the Marlins. Was reading a bunch of trade rumor discussion on both ESPN.com and The Athletic over the last week or so. And Marlins don't have a ton of players to move. They've moved pretty much everybody you could move, at least players with MLB experience. Sandy Alcantara, kind of the wild card there. Could we see him moved at the trade deadline? We'll find out. That's still several weeks away, but Mitch Keller and the Pirates looking to score a win tonight against Miami in Pittsburgh. Again, 5:40 first pitch there. Been a struggle record-wise for Mitch Keller. just 1-8 with a 4.13 ERA. Just like his counterpart Paul Skeens, or his teammate Paul Skeens, I should say, the Pirates have not really given much run support to Keller at all. Two runs or fewer they've scored in each of his last six starts. He won his first start of the season against the Marlins and has lost eight decisions. A couple no decisions in there, but two runs or fewer in each of his last six starts, not helping much on the offensive side of the ball are the Pirates. So that's on the docket tonight at 5:40. You also have Cade Povich, the former Cedar Rapids Colonel, pitching tonight for Baltimore against Detroit. The initial pitching matchup, when I wrote it down early this morning, was Sawyer Gibson Long, former Colonel as well, getting the start for Detroit, but they've changed it since to Brent Herter for the Tigers. So we missed out on two former Colonels teammates pitching against each other in Baltimore, of all places, both traded in 2022 out of the Twins organization. But Tigers and Orioles tonight at 5:35. Cincinnati at Cleveland tonight. Battle for Ohio continues, 5:40 start there in Cleveland. You also have the Brewers hosting the Braves tonight. Braves snapping a seven-game losing streak last night against the Brewers. Not a seven-game losing streak to the Brewers, but overall losing streak, 6:40 start time there for Milwaukee. Yankees and Royals tonight at 6:40. Max Fried, we talked about Tarek Skubal on Monday MVP yesterday. Max Fried certainly deserves nod as well. He's had a fantastic year for the Yankees. He's opposite Noah Cameron. Texas and Minnesota tonight from Target Field. Tyler Malley and Simeon Woods-Richardson there. St. Louis and Toronto from Busch Stadium. Miles Michaelis opposite Chris Bassitt. That's a 6:45 start time. And then the White Sox are in Houston tonight at 7:10. Shane Smith, who's had a fantastic year as well, pretty good candidate to be the White Sox All-Star, one of the All-Stars, probably the only All-Star for the White Sox, but has had a great season so far for Chicago Southsiders. He'll oppose Lance McCullers Jr. tonight for the Astros. So that's your regional matchups tonight. You also have Tampa at Boston, Washington at the Mets, the Giants in Colorado, the Athletics, Denzel Clark. Did you see that catch last night? Incredible stuff for the A's at Los Angeles, the Angels tonight, Dodgers and Padres at 8:40, and then Seattle and Arizona. Colonels also in town tonight, 6:35 against Peoria. WNBA tonight, just two games on the docket. You've got Indiana and Atlanta. Atlanta 5.5-point favorite. The Dream are taking on the Indiana Fever. 6:30 tonight for that one. That's streaming only, it looks like, on ESPN3. And then on ESPN, New York Liberty defending champs, 17.5-point favorites against Angel Reese and the Chicago Sky. So that's your sports menu for tonight here from 1600 ESPN. College World Series getting set. Murray State getting out of these super regionals, beating Duke last night. And we'll have more coverage of that as the week goes on. All right, got a little bit more for you. We got some news, some good news, some kind of bittersweet news out of the college football world today. Detail that and set you up for the rest of the show, which is very short drive time coming up next here on 1600 ESPN. We'll take you up to the start of the Cubs pregame show next here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports.
You may know someone with diabetes, a friend, coworker, or even family member. Prediabetes is a serious condition that can affect anyone. Being overweight, not exercising, or having a family history of type 2 diabetes means you could have prediabetes and not know it. Symptoms may never show until it's too late. The good news is prediabetes can be reversible. Prevent type 2 diabetes before it starts. Find out if you're at risk by taking the quiz at hhs.iowa.gov/diabetes. A message from Iowa HHS.
Fleet Farm's got a great deal on tires to help you hit the road for less. Now when you buy three Cooper tires, get the fourth free. Just get a set of four qualifying Cooper tires installed with our Resolute Road Hazard Policy, and that fourth tire is on us. Plus, for a limited time, we're also offering $10 off Valvoline full synthetic oil changes. Tires, oil, brakes, batteries. Let Fleet Farm's Auto Center techs take care of your auto needs. All at the best prices guaranteed. Cooper Tire offer not available at Hastings.
Do you have trouble getting in and out of the bathtub? Are you afraid you'll slip and fall entering or exiting a tub? SafeStep walk-in tubs can transform your bathtub from an area of concern to a calming refuge. Call them today at 1-800-731-4558 and save $1,600. SafeStep walk-in tubs and showers are proudly made in Tennessee and offer an ultra-low step-in, avoiding that difficult climb over a traditional bathtub wall. They also offer a variety of therapeutic benefits that may help soothe your aching muscles and joints, increasing your mobility, boosting your energy, and improving your sleep. SafeStep walk-in tubs are designed to easily fit your existing tub space and are often installed in as little as one day. Just dial 1-800-731-4558 today to save $1,600 and receive a free shower package. That's 1-800-731-4558 for a free no-obligation consultation and to save $1,600. Safe Step walk-in tubs. Safety never felt so good.
ESPN is KGYM Cedar Rapids on FM at 102.3 and 106.3.
This is SportsCenter.
I'm Christine Lisi. Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers had one message for his new teammates on the first day of mandatory minicamp. He's all in from now on, ready to work, and is committed to winning this season in Pittsburgh. Amid contract disputes, Steelers pass rusher T.J. Watt, Bengals pass rusher Trey Hendrickson, among those not at minicamps this week. Only so much money available for Hendrickson, after previous deals given to quarterback Joe Burrow and receivers Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, notes ESPN NFL analyst Marcus Spears.
You look at Trey's production, you look at what he's meant to this defense, you look at where this defense is based on what we watched them do last year, and you would think that they would absolutely want to bring him back. But ultimately, when you laid that table of making sure both of these wide receivers were compensated at a very high value, and obviously Joe with his contract, this decision was the last one to be made.
NCAA Playing Rules Oversight Panel approved proposed changes expected to enhance the flow of men's college basketball starting this season, including allowing coaches challenges to out-of-bounds calls and goaltending or basket interference.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. And now, a no-frills ad brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Here it is. You could save big when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive. That's it. See? Just a good old-fashioned, straightforward ad. See if you could save at Progressive.com.
Radio Iowa, I'm Dar Danielson. Governor Kim Reynolds was in Rock Valley today to cut the ribbon for a development where some flood victims are moving in. It's been almost a year since those devastating floods there. Mayor Kevin Von Otterloo says the town is recovering, rebuilding, and ready for what's next. The ACLU of Iowa has filed a complaint with the Iowa Civil Rights Office alleging state officials discriminated against the Satanic Temple by denying its request to host events at the Iowa Capitol Rotunda last December. Attorney Rita Bettis Austin says mainstream religious groups are allowed to use the area.
The government should not favor one religious viewpoint or belief over another.
Governor says a proposed satanic event specifically targets children and would be harmful to kids. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley will chair a Judiciary Committee hearing tomorrow to study the privacy and potential national security issues for the bankruptcy of the genetic testing company 23andMe. Radio Iowa, I'm Dar Danielson.
Iowa is a leader in energy development and innovation. But right now, we're at a crossroads. A new bill would block critical energy infrastructure, threatening jobs and the economy. Governor Reynolds has been a champion for Iowa energy. Let her know we need her again. She must veto HF 639. Call 515-281-5211 for Iowa's future. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Iowa, it's John Walters, voice of the Cyclones. In sports and in life, everyone needs someone to help show the way. That's what Iowa's disability access points are all about. They connect people with disabilities, families, and caregivers to the right support. From planning and information to referrals, you're not alone. Part of Iowa's Aging and Disability Resource Network Center, they're here to help, no matter where you are in the state. Visit hhs.iowa.gov/ADRC to find your access point today.
The Todd Brommelkamp Show on 1600 ESPN.
Sounds good. What is it?
Hey, it's Todd inviting you to wake up with me Wednesday morning from 6:30 to 9 a.m. right here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Still a day away from the NBA Finals resuming. We'll take a look at everything that took place around Major League Baseball. Plus, get ready to spin the Wheel of Beef.
What is it again?
The Todd Brommelkamp Show on 1600 ESPN. Live and local sports talk for your ride home. It's Drive Time with Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Another short Drive Time, about 6 minutes or so to go before the Cubs pregame show takes over here on 1600 ESPN. So tied up some loose ends for the final few minutes before radio coverage starts here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Drive Time driven by our friends at Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. You can stop by one of their three locations, Iowa City, North Liberty, or Grinnell. And, of course, LinderTire.com, the place to go for all the info you need. We've got a link to it on our website, KGYMRadio.com. That's where you can find the live sports broadcast schedule, not only for Chicago Cubs baseball, but the NBA Finals, any other sporting events, ESPN Radio, baseball, IndyCar racing. Still got all that for you right here on 1600 ESPN. And the live sports schedule is updated regularly right there on the site. Also, remind Cubs fans out there, too, if you have not yet registered for our Wednesday ticket contest, you have one more chance. Cubs can win tomorrow, not tonight, tomorrow against the Phillies. Someone out there is going to take home a pair of tickets to a future Cubs game. In fact, it is this weekend. Cubs and the Pirates on Saturday the 14th. So hopefully they can win. We'll give the tickets out regardless, but we'd like to end the contest on a happy note, on a high note. And if you have not yet registered, if you've already done so, you're a Cubs fan, you want a chance to win some tickets, you've gone to KGYMRadio.com, clicked on the Wednesday ticket contest giveaway right there on the homepage. And your name's already in there. You're good to go. You're in the drawing. But if you'd like a chance, and the Cubs win tomorrow, you could win some tickets on us here at 1600 ESPN. Again, KGYMRadio.com, the place to go for the details, contest rules, and more right there on the site. Real quick, before I step out the door and turn you over to the Cubs broadcast here in about 4 minutes, we got some news today. I think most of the college football world, in fact, not all the college football world, is sad to see Lee Corso step aside. He's going to retire after week one, as we know, of the upcoming season. And ESPN announcing College Game Day. Where else will it go, or would it go? They are going to be headed to Columbus, Ohio for week one as the Buckeyes take on Texas in what's expected to be a top five matchup. ESPN said in April that the 89-year-old is going to retire after week one of the upcoming season. And they're going to give him a celebratory send-off. Did not name the location of where it would be for week one, but now we know College Game Day is headed to Columbus, Ohio for the Buckeyes and the Longhorns. It is a full circle moment. That is where the headgear picks began all the way back in 1987. His first mascot pick came at Ohio State. Or 1996, excuse me. The first headgear pick came in the 90s for the Buckeyes game against Penn State. Show began in 87. The first headgear pick was 96 for Ohio State and Penn State. And, the final headgear pick for Lee Corso is going to be at Ohio State against Texas this time. But a full circle moment. Certainly a lot of tributes will be had. That entire show is just going to be one big old Lee Corso tribute, but there's no other way you can send him off than that. And hopefully it's a great send off. Sure, it will be. The tribute videos when his retirement was announced were fantastic, and can't wait to see that episode of College Game Day. But week one, Texas, Ohio State, the final game day for Lee Corso. That was announced earlier today. There you go. That's it for the short edition, the final power hour for quite a while here on 1600 ESPN. Cubs pregame show starts here in about 90 seconds. We'll turn you over to that here in just a moment. Todd Brommelkamp show tomorrow morning, 6:30 till 9. Gym class will follow the Cubs tomorrow. So about 3:15, 3:20-ish till 4 o'clock, and then I'll be with you for a full show. 4 till 6, we'll have Collector's Corner and a whole lot more for you on a Wednesday edition of the show. Talk NBA Finals tomorrow, too, as Game 3 is set for tomorrow night. So looking forward to that. Talk to you again tomorrow at 4. Cubs pregame show is next here on 1600 ESPN.
Most of us know someone living with diabetes, a friend, neighbor.